Praise the Lord. I want to first encourage us that the Lord has gifted children to do mighty things for him. Doesn't matter how old they are, if they're little babies or grown-up children, older ones, they can. And we do not have to put our little children in a box. We don't have to hide them away like they're little toys with bows and wait till they're older to influence them or have them influence others. They can lead worship dynamically, anointed, effectively right now. Okay? Right now. Nowhere in the Bible it says that you have to preach the gospel to children on their level. That is something that man has incorporated and our culture has incorporated. But the Hebrews and the Jews in the ancient days, they always talked to their children about the Lord in life. Every day, all day. They didn't have children's church or Sunday school or a vacation Bible school. All these things are good and well, and nothing's wrong with them. But it wasn't like segregated religious study.
Mm-hmm.
They taught the children about God in everything, in life. The boys went with their fathers to build, if he was a carpenter, if he was a cook, if he was a tradesman, if he was a businessman, the sons were right there with him. And he would say, son, now why did I talk to that lady like that? And his son would say, I don't know, Papa, why? He says, remember what the Bible says, how we're to treat those who are less fortunate to us, how we're supposed to give. Okay, Papa, I see. At just life. Now, now, why was it wrong when we heard that boy lie to the girl? Why was that wrong? I know, Papa, because one of the commandments says thou shalt not lie. That's why they taught the gospel. It was just in life. And the mom's the same way. Taught them about the goodness of the faith and the Lord as she was cooking, as she was doing her hair, as they were buying things. Jesus is the center of everything and the center of our life, and the children can know the goodness of the Lord, and they can't understand spiritual things even deep enough to impart it to others in their worship dance. In other words, I hear this a lot, you know, in my teaching of, working with dance leaders and conferences. I hear this a lot. It's like, okay, they're entertaining, they're not worship, but we let it go because they're young. No, that's not Bible. God calls the young to worship harder than the older because they have the energy, they have the excitement, they have the zeal. We should require them to really be truly worshiping even more than adults, and they can do it. If you think of the great men of our faith, like Martin Luther and John Wesley, founders of the Methodist Church, they were saved and came into the knowledge of God at a young age. Why? Because a theologian had this quote, I think it was John Knox, he said, a child saved is a soul saved plus a life. You get that? A child saved is a soul saved plus a life. That means my daughter who accepted the Lord at 4, not only was her soul saved, but her life was saved. Mm. And I know that to be true because I got saved at 17. And by the time 17, I had done so much Helen, I was a textbook heathen. So I was the worst teenage child a mother could have dreamed of. But my daughter is saved from that because she got saved at a young age at 4. And the Lord has blessed me and I'm saved from it too. I don't have to deal with that kind of teenagery stuff. So you see what's going on? So what I want to start with that, that's the first thing the mindset I want us to get about our children in ministry, that they have the power to lead the anointing and do the prophetic and preach and to carry the atmosphere of the Holy of Holies just as much as we do. But what we have to do is create the environment for them to be free in that, and also hold up high standards. So, you know, a lady said to me, well, this young lady, she doesn't come to rehearsal, and she comes with an attitude, and then she doesn't dress right, and when she got up there to dance, it was very inappropriate. What do I do? I said, well, first of all, if she was on my team, she wouldn't be dancing. She come in with an attitude and don't come to rehearsal, and then she's not dressed right? No. Ministry is a privilege. It's not a right. Because you come to the church, because you came to rehearsal, because your mom bought the garments, you have a right. No, ministry is a privilege. It's not a right. And if you have to go to, and if you go have to be on a cheerleading team on Monday nights at 5 and you got to smile and jump, or you're not on a cheerleading team, well, guess what? The standard for the Church of the Living God dance ministry is no lower. Okay, it's just as good. Let's read Psalm 8 really quickly. Psalm 8. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set the glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou hast might still the enemy and the avenger. Now, that's the King James Version. In the King James Version, that word strength is translated in Hebrew as praise. Mm-hmm. Let me read the NIV. Psalm 8 in the International Version. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. The Lord, the Bible says, that not Jocelyn, okay, I gave you the history of the culture, and I brought some theology in there so you can know I read a little. But, you know, but you don't even need to know all of that, right? The Holy Scripture says thou, the Lord, you have set your glory in the heavens through the praise of children and infants. You have established a stronghold against the enemies. That means we have to teach and require and help the children to praise God, because God is using the babies and the sucklings, meaning children who are just, who can't even eat strong milk or food yet. They're still nursing. Those are the sucklings. And then the children running around, you know, like your kids or the kids you see, they're always running. Like my daughter, she can't walk from the bathroom to the kitchen. She has to run. Those little runners. God has made them to praise. To do what? To stop the enemy. To silence the avenger. We have to make sure they praise. Because God is using their praise as a weapon. It's a secret weapon against the enemy, against evil, against badness, wickedness. Okay, so that's why. And that's their purpose, to praise the Lord. That's what they were called and ordained to do. And we can encourage them that. You know, they come in, sometimes they come in with frowns and faces and you know, they don't want to be there sometimes, or maybe the little kids, you know, it's hard to get them focused, but we just remind them, hey, you know what? God has made you to praise Him. He loves it when you smile and praise the Lord and clap and jump and turn around. Did you see in Amy's manual? Did you see those children, or the cover of her manual? Did you see those children? Didn't it just take your breath away? Just, you know, you weren't even there, but the vision of that little girl, I can't stop using that image, you know. The vision of that little girl holding her hands up to the Lord, and she's just so into God and so free in worship that her head falls back. She can't even hold her head up. Didn't it make you smile? Didn't it make you rejoice inside? Didn't make you say, wow, yes, hallelujah. That's what their praise does. It encourages us and it silences the enemy. I'm going to read this one more scripture and then I'm going to be quiet so we can hear from Amy. She has a wonderful lesson for us. Matthew 18, it says, then Jesus called a little child to him, set him on the midst of them, and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. As this little child is the greatest in heaven. What is Jesus telling them? Because the children were praising and being excited and joyful like children do. You know, children's play is their learning. And later on in some of the lessons you'll see, when we have our dance classes, don't take the fun and the joy out of your dance classes for your children. It still should be fun and exciting for them. Because that's how they learn. That's how they're affected through their play and their joy for them. So anyway, they were praising and worshiping. And the disciple says, oh, no, be quiet. Stop it, stop it. And the Lord said, no, you have it twisted. You have it wrong. You don't stop them because you have to be like them to really see heaven, to see me, to get a word, to get a revelation of who I am. So, and we have it twisted too, especially in the North American church and probably the European churches, that we have to dumb down the gospel and the spiritual things for the children to understand. You know, we say it all the time. We got to bring it down to their level. You know what? No, that's not scriptural. The Holy Spirit is well equipped to bring whatever word he wants down to the level of whoever. I mean, I see more grown-ups falling asleep in church than adults. And if you ask a grown-up most of the time, what did Pastor preach on? 9 out of 10, you know, 9 grown-ups, I'm sure it's probably only about 3 that really heard him. So it's not the children. It's the Holy Spirit what he's doing. So what Jesus is saying here is, don't dumb down the gospel and spiritual things for children. You come down. You humble yourself. I don't want to say dumb yourself down, but you humble yourself. We don't have to humble the word for the children. We have to humble ourselves to be like the children so that we can see God. So we can see heaven. So bring it all. Require everything. Require your children to give it all. Require your children to pray. Require them to fast if it's okay with their parents in the church, you know. Require them. My children, they have to pray. They have to worship. They breathe God's air. They, you know, require them. And they will do it, and they will love it, and it will be a blessing. So there you go.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you, Jocelyn. I'm so glad that you shared that. And I asked Jocelyn to share first because I've taken her class, A Worshipful Children's Ministry, and I was listening to it, and she just does such a great job laying the foundation of, you know, why? Why are we doing this with children? And I'm going to go through a lot of practical things today, but we want to start both with ourselves and with our children talking about why we do this. And I'll share just an example that came to me, Jocelyn, while you were sharing. About 2 years ago, we were preparing for a Pentecost dance, and I had children and adults working together. And we pretty much, I taught them the dance, and we did, and we always pray, but I didn't do a lot of teaching. And those girls were misbehaving, and they would come with attitudes, and I'd think, I'm not fun enough. So that's why they have an attitude. And at the end of it, I did a lot of just thinking, what happened there? Because when we danced, it went well, we danced right, but I didn't sense that presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And when I looked back at it, it was because I did not require those girls to worship and require the same things of them that I was requiring of the adults. And so the next time we got together, I had the first thing I did is I talked about the mission and vision of Worship Dance Ministries. And that is to gather, to equip women of all ages and skill levels to offer their whole bodies to God through dance and movement, and to lead a prayerful dance ministry in the church and community to tell God's stories through dance and movement and invite Jesus' presence and work in people's lives. And we read that at the beginning, and we read that at each rehearsal, and each time I taught them about why are you here? This is nothing if we're just up here trying to look pretty before people. And they committed to reading the Bible every day and to praying daily for the people in our congregation who would be watching that dance. And I gave them the choice on fasting because they're little. But I suggested maybe you'll give up something that's important to you. And the next time we danced, the Holy Spirit came and was so powerful. And those girls sensed it. And it was because they were in on the mission throughout it, not just, this is fun. I get to dance. I get to have people watch me. And so now I know to do that, to ask, to set out the commitment ahead of time, ask them to prayerfully consider it, talk to their parents about the commitment. Can you make this commitment if you're leading in ministry before they do it? So that I know it makes a really big difference, and I really appreciated Jocelyn sharing that. And I do want to say that I'm honored to everyone who's on the call that you're allowing me to be part of your life. And my prayer is that you'll get more out of this class than you expected, and that it will be fruitful in your life and your ministry. You will go away from this class with practical tools on how to teach children worship dance. Like Jocelyn said, I teach a class in a studio where kids come, and I charge for that class, and that class provides some of the income that funds the ministry that I do at our church. And so I also work with adults and children at our church just for special ministry times. We're not rehearsing all year round. We rehearse for several weeks before a special ministry time, and then we present that. I'm going to share how you can borrow from sign language to build a movement vocabulary. But even before we do that, we've Jocelyn talked about the purpose and the power of children ministering. And I also want to talk about the attitude, how important their heart attitude is, and to just share a lesson that I use that has helped my children maintain the right heart attitude when they're dancing. So, this lesson came to me, again, in the middle of an 8-week dance class, and the kids were doing great, but I could sense that they were primping for class, and they were kind of arguing over who got what prop in class. And so it was just time to talk about their hearts. And so, and this lesson is in your book. It's lesson 7. It's entitled God Looks at Our Hearts When We Dance. And what I do is I bring in a beautiful box. I happen to have a box that's a Christmas ornament, and it's a silver box, and it opens and closes, and there's a ribbon on it, and it just looks beautiful. It looks like it should have a diamond ring in it or something, even something more valuable than the box. But you could also just take a shoebox and wrap the top and the bottom with bright paper, wrap a ribbon around the lid so that you can still take the lid off without wrecking the wrapping. But you come in and you want to have something, a beautiful box that's inviting to the children. And I show them the box, and I say, isn't this beautiful? What do you like about it? And they say, oh, it's shiny, or oh, it looks valuable, or you know, whatever they like about it. They share, and then I ask them, when you see this box, what did it make you want to know? And they all say, what's inside? So I let a child open the box, and when they open it, they discover that it's empty. And I say, it's empty, and we just kind of sit with that disappointment for a moment. And then I say, what a disappointment. Such a beautiful box, but there's nothing inside it. Empty is disappointing. And I tell them that the Bible uses the word vain for something that's empty, something that appears to be beautiful and valuable, but really it's worthless. It's empty of value. Empty beauty is beauty that's only on the outside. I tell them empty dancing is when our worship is on the outside, but it's not in our hearts. If we're only thinking about how beautiful our dance clothes are, how good we look dancing, whether we're a better dancer than someone else, whether or not we got the props we were hoping for to dance with, our hearts aren't focused on worshiping the Lord. And so we're just being vain. It's like a beautiful box that's empty and it's disappointing. And then I tell them, but the Lord doesn't want us to have empty dancing. He wants our dancing to be full. The Lord loves things that are full. And so I show them another box, and it can be a plain box. It doesn't really matter what this box looks like on the outside. You can make it pretty, you can make it plain. But inside it, I put something really special. Last time I taught, it could be a prop. It could be something to eat that they love for later. It could be candy. It could be a picture of someone they love. It could be a note that you wrote to them. Depends on how many kids you have and what's appropriate for your group. When I taught this lesson just a couple of weeks ago, I put in a bunch of colorful scarves. These are pieces of pretty fabric that I've collected from Joann's when they have remnant sales, that I buy at garage sales, but they're beautiful. And I pull them out one by one, and I say, oh, let's see what's inside here. Look, aren't these beautiful? We have green. Oh, do you like this one? Do you like this one? I let them touch them. And then I tell them why I chose what I put in there. I thought that they would love them, and I wanted to give them joy, and I thought they'd enjoy dancing with them. And And then I told them, we're going to use these scars when you dance to help tell God's stories, because you can use scars to tell stories when you dance. And then I went on to tell them that when we dance to please the Lord, it's like giving Him and other people a beautiful gift. It's not so important what's on the outside, although, you know, you like to wrap a valuable gift to make it look nice. It's not that it's unimportant, but what matters the most is what's on the inside. And 1 Samuel 6:7 says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I tell them that people judge by what they see on the outside, how we look, how skilled we are, what we're doing. But God can see our hearts, and He's more concerned about our hearts than what we look like on the outside. And then we pray and just ask God to give us a heart that makes Him happy, to help us dance in a way that pleases Him, and to dance in a way that tells His stories and blesses others. And then we go on from there to teach, and I'll do technique. Or in this case, when I use the scarves, I taught them some simple movements for how to use scarves to tell stories when you dance. But they go into it understanding the heart attitude, not grabbing for the purple scarf because everyone loves purple, but wanting an open heart. And it was so sweet because the next week after I taught this, I sat down for the teaching time, and a five-year-old in my class said, remember last week you had the box and it was so beautiful, but there was nothing inside. Empty dancing is, you know, and she went on and she retold what I just told you now. She could have taught that class. And so she got it. And that's what I wanted for her, because then she comes to class ready to worship Jesus and to bless others. So that's one practical lesson, and that's in your manual, like I said, lesson 7. And I think I don't usually do it in the very beginning. Sometimes I do it mid-class, so it's when everybody needs a heart check, because all of us, it's not just kids, all of us as dancers, vanity is going to be something that tempts us, that's always calling to us, because we get to move in beautiful ways and we get to wear beautiful clothes. I have to remind myself, this is not what it's about, Amy. It's about worshiping the Lord and blessing others and ministering to them. So that's a lesson that I think is valuable for a heart check time. And throughout your teaching, you're emphasizing the purpose of dance and the attitude. And then you can go on to teach techniques. In the manual that you have, I do give simple instructions for using flags and streamers, for dancing, doing a circle dance, and learning different postures of worship, like bowing and laying prostrate and raising hands. For the rest of this class today, we're going to talk about helping children build their movement vocabulary. So if they dance, part of my ministry is to tell God's stories in a way that invites Jesus' work in people's lives. And so if we're going to tell God's stories, it helps to have a vocabulary of movement that helps interpret the words and the music. And so lesson 3 in the manual is called Using Sign Language to Tell God's Stories. And we explain to the children, when you dance before the Lord, it helps to have a vocabulary so that people know what we're trying to say to the Lord, or so that we know, you know, that it reminds us what we're trying to say to Him. So in this lesson, I borrow from sign. This is not a section on American Sign Language. I have a sign language book. I have it right next to me. And when I want to interpret a word, I look at the sign and I adapt it. And I think, how can I use this? Because sign language alone is a small movement. It's not, you know, you're just using your hands. And most of the things that I show you will be using your hands. But you can take those and add to those a lunge, a spin, a walk, a run, and turn it into dance. The gestures in your book, not all of them do come from sign. Some of them just come from what I've seen other people do or what I envision when I pray about a word or movement and what comes. There's some slides in there that I'm going to walk you through. So go ahead and click to that. The title of it is Building a Vocabulary of Worship. Okay, and hopefully you can get into that file, Building a Vocabulary of Worship. First picture you'll see is in red. Okay, well, let's walk through those. Now, this is just a sampling. I mean, there's so many more words. But when you build a vocabulary with children, you want to think about what are the words to the songs that they're singing in church, or what are the words that we hear most when we're reading the Psalms or scriptures that are full of praise. And we want to have motions for those. So slide number 2 is beauty. And we talk about the beauty of the Lord. And the sign, when we sign beauty, you take your hand and you start at your chin and you kind of trace your face and you come back to your chin. That's a sign for beauty. Sometimes another thing that you can do is instead of tracing your own face, you can envision the Lord in front of you, like you're tracing his face. Or you can even do that with another student, like you would do to your child, where you're framing their face and you're touched by how beautiful it is. That's a way that you can show beauty. And slide number 2 is bowing. And none of those come from sign, but bowing is just, you could do a whole class on bowing. It is such a powerful way to demonstrate total abandon to the Lord. So I think there's even a couple more pictures of bowing in the book itself, but I've got 3 there on slide number 2. You can bow on your knees with your head lifted and your hands open to the Lord. You can go all the way face down on the ground. And I always just have the kids do them with me as we do it. Bowing is just, you know, I have my sister-in-law says that when children take action, their heart follows. And so when they bow, their heart follows in an attitude of reverence. In fact, I think that happens for us too. I sometimes make myself get out of bed in the morning and bow for my prayer time so that my body is saying to my spirit, you bow before the Lord. So bowing is powerful there. Slide number 4 is celebrate. So to show celebrate, if you click on slide number 4, in sign language, if you take your hands, both your hands, and make a C out of them, lift them just above your head, make a C, and you swirl your arms, kind of make circles with your arms, that means to celebrate. Like you're almost like you're swirling streamers above your head, but your hands in the form of a C. You can see that on the picture there. That is a beautiful one to do while spinning. You can do while spinning while your hands are doing that, or shifting side to side, stepping side to side for celebrate. The second picture there, you can also just clap your hands above your head while you're spinning. That shows celebration. That's a joyful move. Slide number 5, I'm going to show you a few more, and then we're going to put some of them together. And this is an exercise I'll do with the children. I'll give them a few words, and then we put them together in phrases. So let's actually go down to slide. Well, that's okay. We'll do 5. So slide number 5 is a sign for Earth, and that is American Sign Language. You hold your hands with the middle 3 fingers extended out, and right in front of you, and you rotate the hands around each other, so as if you could imagine the Earth spinning on its axis. That shows that's the sign for Earth. Slide number 7 is glorify. So the sign for glorify, if you look at the top, that's closest to the sign for glorify. And I've made that bigger for a dance movement. But you take one hand and extend it out to the side, clap it with the other hand, and then it's like you make a rainbow of that. You draw that other hand all the way around. So you've made an arc with one hand, and that's glorify. I also put in there a second sign for glorify that is just intuitive to me. And that's when I just reach my hands above my head, and I circle the heavens like I'm stretching out God's glory. And that one you'll see in the blue dress. Glorify is a big movement because you're revealing God's glory, and you're always standing in awe of him when you do that. Above glorify is Father. So once you get, and the sign for Father is you take your hand, just like in there, you touch it to your forehead, and then you lift it up higher. That shows honor for a father. That's a sign. Sometimes I've seen it done where you take 2 hands and you lift them. Or you might even take 2 hands signing Father, but you alternate them. That gives you a start. I also love to, one of my favorite movements for Father, it's not shown there, but you can just imagine. I put my arms out and I say, imagine you're hugging a tree. Or imagine my dad has a big belly. And so if I hug my dad, you know, my arms are extended nice and round. And I love that one for Father because it shows intimacy. So either one of those can be Father. So once they know a few, then it's fun to put them together and to make a phrase with them. So I'll say, okay, we've learned those few. You can skip down to slide number, just a moment here. Slide number 27, putting them together. So then I'll say, let's show how we would say, Father, I love you. And so you have them sign Father. You choose your favorite movement, sign Father, and then love. And I haven't gone over the love one, but love is such an easy and natural one. You can put your hand on your heart and reach up to the Lord, but you have them do that in sequence. Father, I love you. And then you might say, okay, let's try it another way. And then you might do the, okay, hug a tree for Father this time, and then just cross your arms over your heart for I love you. And then they've got something that they're saying to the Lord. They've got a phrase. Go back up to a few more words so we have more to work with when we're putting them together. Slide number 8 is a sign for heaven. And the sign for heaven, you take one hand and it's cupped right in front of you, and the other hand goes underneath that hand and then up higher. So you're showing or going above the clouds. That's the way I think of it. Like you go above the clouds and up into the heavens. That's a sign for heaven. And you can do that much bigger. Sometimes I'll stretch it up high into the sky. Sometimes I'll start way low and then go high. That's the sign for heaven. Honor. For honor, you can take your two hands, if you look on slide number 9, and you lift, put your hands in front of you with your palms facing out, and one hand higher than the other, so that showing that Jesus is higher than we are. And you lift your hands up to show honor to the Father, or honor to Jesus, honor to the Holy Spirit. You can also simply just extend an arm out, like in that second picture. I'm pointing to the cross to show I honor you by lifting my hands, or bowing a head is a sign of honor. Lord comes up all the time. Lord is a song. We're singing about the Lord all the time. We're talking to the Lord all the time. The sign for Lord, you'll go to slide number 11. When you sign Lord, you put your right hand so that it makes an L. And you take that right hand, put it on your shoulder, and you bring it across to the opposite waist. So it's as if you're making a sash. You're imagining a sash like a king would wear or a lord would wear, and you're drawing that with the L hand across there. So those first two pictures show going from there. And you can do the Lord sign kneeling. You can do it standing up. You can do it lunging. And that's the sign for Lord. And there's so many ways to vary that. I've seen it where you just lift up your hand high in the L sign, where you have a group of people lift their hands in the L sign, but one at a time goes, so there's a sequence going across. That's Lord. Slide number 12 shows love and adore. And love is one that we use so much that it helps to have many ways to do love and adore. The sign for love, I believe, is you just take your hands and you make a heart and you put it over your heart, which is cute. Somehow for me in dancing, it feels a little too cute, but so I tend to demonstrate what I would do for someone that I love them. So the first picture shows a person with just your hands crossed over your heart. The second one we saw before with one hand on the heart and one offering a hand up to the Lord like you're offering your love to him. You can take both your arms and just cross them in front of you and lift your arms up to the Lord. The kids love having variety in that. And one thing that I have noticed after I teach children, maybe we've done vocabulary for 2 or 3 weeks, pretty soon they start coming in and they say, Teacher Amy, I made up a sign for God. What do you think of this? Or, Teacher Amy, I have this sign for bless. In fact, I'll give it to them as a homework assignment. See if you can come and bring me something that you made up. And some of my favorite signs are the signs that the gestures that the children have made up. They're so creative. And I find some of them, you know, I started dancing with doing such simple things. I started with just gestures, and then I went on and purposely took dance classes so that I could be more equipped. So I'm in some ways more of a gesture than a real dancer. Now I'm becoming a real dancer and I love it. But I tend to use my hands a lot, and they'll come in and they'll take something really simple and they'll spin when they do it, or they'll run across the floor, or someone will do a cartwheel for joy. And so they breathe a lot of life into it. So having that space to let them make up their own will give you tons of ideas, and it'll breathe life into the class. And it's also helping them remember that they're ministry leaders. They're really leading. They're not just coming just to be fed things. They have something to offer. Let's do two more, and we'll put a few more together. Slide 13 is mercy. Mercy, and these are not coming from sign language. These for me are ways of gesturing, showing mercy to another person. So the sign for mercy is that you imagine that you're touching someone's head, and then you stroke their head. Somehow there's a stroking. But I like to reach down like I'm bending down to help someone who's fallen. That first picture shows that on slide 13. Or reaching out to lift a burden off of someone who's weary. Or the third picture shows just a sign of kindness by one hand touches my shoulder and the other hand rests on top of it as an act of mercy or compassion to another person. Mercy is a beautiful sign, and that's one that I love to ask the children to make up one, because I think you can never have too many ways to say mercy. And then name. The sign for name on slide 14, as you cross, you hold up your pointer and your middle finger, your index finger and your middle finger, and you cross your hands by your mouth, and then you let them descend down. You can let your hands go up to show, like, I'm lifting up the name of the Lord. A lot of times when I do name, I don't use the sign. I might just touch my hand to my mouth and then lift it up, showing just how precious the name of Jesus is. But we talk about the name of Jesus often when we dance. It's a great one to have a word for. So now let's see. Now come down again to slide number 25. Now that you have a few more, then we'll come back and say, let's put them into phrases. Let's say, Jesus is Lord. And so the sign for Jesus, I don't think we did that one, but you can see it in slide number 25. The sign for Jesus is you touch the middle finger of one hand to the palm of the other, and then you do the same with the opposite hand, just like you were touching the nails that pierced his hand. That's the sign for Jesus. And that could be something that you lift your hands in the air to do. You can make it really big where your hands are gesturing out to both sides in the shape of a cross afterwards. Whatever you do, you sign Jesus, and then you add Lord to it. And then they have a phrase to say, Jesus is Lord. Click on slide 26. Slide 26, I'll say, okay, how about glorify Jesus? And so we take the sign for glorify, where you clap your hand and you take that other hand and you bring it around in a large arc, and then you sign Jesus after that. Slide 28, bow before the Lord. You have them bow, and I always give them three or four different options for bowing, and then sign Lord. We bow before the Lord. Slide 29 says Lord of heaven and earth. And let me show you the sign for earth before we do that. That middle one is a sign for, I did show you heaven and earth. Okay, so Lord of heaven and earth, you take the sign for Lord. You lift that L hand up high of heaven. You set your hand going under the other. And then earth, let your hands rotate in the sign of earth. A little more on vocabulary. There's a few more words in there that I'll go over with you before we move on from this. Next week what we'll do, once the kids have built a vocabulary of worship, and what I usually do is I'll teach them in that lesson three where you introduce using sign to build a vocabulary, I give them about 9 words, and we play with those words, and we put them together, and we practice them. And then every week after that, I set aside 10 minutes to teach new vocabulary, because, of course, they're not going to learn it all in one time, and I'll review old vocabulary and then add some new ones so that each week they're building their vocabulary. And like I said, the kids will come in with their own as well. In fact, I've had groups where they would do this all class long if I let them. Once we go from me teaching them, and their favorite part is then you put them in pairs and say, here's a phrase, glorify the Lord. You get together and put them in pairs, and you work that out. I give them 3 to 5 minutes, and then I circulate the room. Now, if you have younger children in your classes, 4 to about age 6, they're probably most of them are not going to be confident making up their own phrases. So what you can do in those cases, if you have mixed age, I teach mixed age. I have a younger class and an older class, but I overlap them. They overlap by 15 minutes that I can do mixed age activities. So I save vocabulary for that time when they're older and younger kids, and I pair them up, an older with a younger child. And then the older child usually has the ideas, and they get a leadership opportunity, and they teach the younger children. And they come together and they present. And they present. And it's so worshipful to watch. We sit in a circle and we just go one at a time. And I've had groups that will say, give us, you know, we want another one. We want another one. And we'll do that. We'll do that for a while. So let me see. I think there's a couple more I'd like to go over with you before we move on.
Awesome. Amy,
yes, please do. Did you have a question?
Hello, this is Yolanda. Yes, I'm sorry. Got in a sign language for Lord. Just wanted to know, when expressing the sign for Lord, can you stand or do you have to bow when you arm up and do that sign expression for it?
Oh, you can do either one, Yolanda. You know, I think you're saying something different. When you're bowing low, obviously you're humbling yourself before the Lord, but we also stand when someone important comes into the room. So standing is very appropriate, too. It's a way of being alert. And so, yeah, I think it's, and it's, you know, kids love variety, and so I will show them one sign like Lord and say, you know, you can use the same movement, but change the levels. You can do this bowing, you can do this lunging, you can do this standing, and that difference alone is exciting. It makes your dance more interesting, and it gives them more joy. Or I'll say, you know, take two people, one of you face the side and one of you face the front. There's just infinite ways that you can take something. It's really just a starting point. I don't think there's any rules about what you have to do. You're just praying about what's the heart of this word and what is going to communicate that to the child and then to the people that they're watching if they're dancing in ministry. It's a good question. Thank you.
And also, too, in the same dance, maybe one part, one section, they can do it bowing, and then the next section they can do it standing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, adding variety to it. But what I wanted to say, too, was I really like your idea of having the children put them together, because that is so exciting. They love that. They love when you get them working. And then they look forward to coming back the next time to working on it with their friend and showing everyone. I just think that's just wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, they do love it. And sometimes I have had to kind of give up something else I've planned. You know, you're listening to the Holy Spirit. I don't always give up what I have planned, but there are days when I do, and it's really delightful to watch. And like I said, they're more creative than me a lot of times. Thank you. Okay.
Anyone else have any other questions? Yolanda, you had another question, or anyone else have another question?
I have a question. Hello?
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Hi. I have a question. I teach children. This has really been really good and insightful for me. But one of the things I've been trying to do is have them, like, they'll dance freely and when they're in class with me, but then on Sunday mornings they seem to stiffen up when they're with their mm-hmm. other friends. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, how do you get them to be free during Sunday morning worship? During worship, the children stand together. The adult team does spontaneous worship, but the children gather together, and I let them have flags and streamers, but they just stand, and they don't want, you know, they don't turn. They don't freely dance as they do to express as we do during dance practice, because they're very free during dance practice when I put the music on, and they're learning dance vocabulary, you know, but they just, I think it's fearful, their fear, and I don't know how to, you know, they're still young. I know when they get to be teenagers, you know,
I think it's a great question, and I think it's so important. I think any of us would want that. What I was just going to share is to have one of them lead and let the others follow, you know, and then, you know, maybe there's three of them in a line and one is out front, and let them do that in rehearsal where they're doing simple movements, actually probably mm-hmm. not turns, because it's kind of hard to follow people doing turns, but raising arms, lifting them, bowing, do those exercises in practice, and then let one person lead, and then mm-hmm. rotate and let another person lead. And maybe, you know, you're going to have to see during practice who you have the confidence to put in front. But I think that gives sort of a middle ground between being completely spontaneous and having some direction, but also adding some spontaneity in the moment. So that's...
And also, I'm sorry, go ahead, sis. I was going to add something, but go ahead. What were you going to say, sister?
Oh, no, I just said that's a great idea. I'm going to try that on Wednesday.
Yeah, and may I also add, too, that one thing about the prophetic dance, spontaneous dance, or improvisational dance is we have to understand that some people are just naturally more free to, you know, just go out in front and do what they can do unrehearsed. Some people just are. It's just the same. You know, I know with prophetic dance and spontaneous dance, we over deep it. I made up a word. Forgive me, English grammar. But just think about a speaker. Like there are some speakers who they're very prolific, very charismatic, but they don't do their best if you just call them from the audience and ask them to speak. But then there's some others, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you said, well, do you have a few words to say, and they got up, they could preach an hour sermon. You know, that's just, they are maybe more gifted in that area, maybe had more experience. So I like what you said, Amy, about getting the one that is more gifted or more experienced mm-hmm. or more bolder in that and give the other ones, like, help. Like, don't just, you know, maybe not require all of them to do it on their own, but give them, like, a help, like the younger one, I mean, one that's really gifted in it. And you'll see that they grow in it, you know.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good.
And one thing, just a practical thing that Lynn suggests is, she calls it north, south, east, west. So you've got three kids standing in a line, one in front and one in back. So there's five children all together. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Three kids standing, face front. So the person that's in the front, we'll call that north. I don't know if I'm right about that. So north starts leading when they're facing front. And then when north turns to the side, the person who's on that end, then everyone's facing that side, they become the leader. And they lead for a while. And then when they turn towards maybe the person at the other end, then whatever direction the children are facing, the person who they can see most visibly, that person's leading. So that way, you know, you could get three kids, three or four children who take turns leading. And maybe you even tell them ahead of time, you're going to take a turn. And so, you know, it's okay to practice this at home and think about what you want to do, or practice it during praise and worship time so that they know. And then they don't have to figure it out for the whole time. They don't have to be free for the whole time, but they have their 45 seconds where they are leading everybody
right.
else, or half a minute or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thank you very much.
And in a workshop, you get more chances to do improv, and then that, I think that confidence can then trickle into the congregational time, you know, start small and then get a bigger audience and a bigger audience. Or audience isn't the right word, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Teach. So when I teach classes, we usually minister in the community at the end. We'll go to an assisted living facility and minister there. And we're always doing a choreographed dance during that time. But I do have some kids that would love to just improv. And so my plan for teaching is, well, I want to give you some tools to improv, because, of course, you don't want them to be in front of everybody and freeze, because that's embarrassing for them and makes people who are watching feel stressed. But I'm going to build in time for improv in class and for leading others like that. All right. I'm going to bring us back to the Google Doc and just look at a few more signs together, and then I'm going to give you a homework assignment. So if you'll go back and click on praise. So praise is an easy one. That's a very simple gesture for praise. Number 16, you put your hands by your mouth, lift them up to the Lord. My favorite one, which I don't have pictured there, because it's just to imagine that you're clapping in front of you and let your hands lift up to the Lord to show applause for him. number 17 shows sanctuary, and I use that in a dance that I choreograph to the scriptures where you draw your arm over your head like there's a shelter, like you're showing shelter. And strength, that's pretty obvious if you look at slide 18. Anything that shows a strength of movements, like your fists, your muscles showing, shows strength. I like to walk backwards when I'm drawing my arms down like that, like you're just inviting the strength of the Lord to enter into one place or honoring his strength. Slide 19 shows victory. Victory is a lot like celebration, except your hands are in the V sign, which is, it's hard to see in that picture, but you're basically making a fist and tucking your thumb between your pointer and your middle finger, and you spin those hands and you spin your body like you're showing a victory, or you can simply stand and hold your hands in the letter V. Thanks. To show thanks is to take your hand from your mouth and just lower it down. If you see babies, when they're doing baby sign, they do that sign a lot, and I like to bow. That picture, you can bow when you say thanks. You don't have to. You can stand and lift your thanks up to the Lord as well. Victory. Wisdom is number 22. And worship. And that's worship in Greek is literally means to lay prostrate before the Lord. And so I always teaching them. In fact, it's fun to teach children just postures of worship. That to have them lay prostrate on the ground, to bow, to raise your hands. And I think it's fun to tell them, in Sunday school, when you're asked to pray, usually we ask kids to fold their hands and bow their heads. But in the Bible, most of the time when we pray, we're commanded to lift up our hands in prayer. And so usually when we pray, I say, let's lift your hands. I let them choose their prayer posture, but to know that it's a biblical command to raise your hands in prayer. Next week, we are going to learn a choreographed movements to Revelation 7 verses 11 and 12, and you have access to that on your site right now. And I would encourage you to even just read Revelation. Revelation is such an awesome book full of worship and visual praise. And so that lesson is called Joining the Worship of Heaven because, of course, Revelation is when Jesus gave John the opportunity to see into heaven, to see the worship that was happening. And so we when we enact all the movement of Revelation, I tell them you're joining the worship of heaven. So for homework,
excuse me, Amy, yes. I did have another, mm-hmm. someone typed another question in.
Oh, okay.
Would this mm-hmm. be okay time?
Absolutely.
A sister from Germany, praise God. She said, awesome. How long should dance classes be held? How long should they be?
That's a great question. I'll give my answer, and then Jocelyn, you give yours. Cause, when I teach a younger class up through age 7, I keep it to 45 minutes. At least, and it's 4 through 7-year-olds. And after 45 minutes, they're tired. That's my experience. When I have my older class, which is 8-year-olds and up, I teach an hour class, and that's about right for them. Sometimes I could go longer with the older girls, but it gives us time to do some biblical teaching, to do some warm-up, to do some technique, and to learn some choreography. What would you say to that, Jocelyn?
I agree with you totally. I love that. Yeah.
And when I have rehearsals with adults and children, I usually plan for the children to opt out, not to opt out, but to be finished with what I need to do with the children after 45 mm-hmm. minutes to an hour, because then they become a distraction and they're frustrated and they're anxious, you know, antsy and tired. So I don't go over an hour unless they're, you know, older, or unless we're really close to the end and we're just practicing, but then you still have to give breaks because they get hungry and tired.
Mm-hmm. And I feel it's more beneficial, like if we need extra rehearsal, it's better to do short, more rehearsal than
yes.
long marathon. So like instead of doing a long rehearsal after school from mm-hmm. 4 to 7, just do one Tuesday from 4 to 4:45 and another one Thursday from 4 to 4:45. I feel mm-hmm. that that's, you know, better.
Yeah.
Of their
attention
spans, and they're tired after a whole full day of all of they have to do at school and all the other things, you know?
Yeah.
That is a great question, though.
And, you know, just going back to the sign for just a minute, one thing that I appreciate about borrowing from sign and using gestures is that you can, people of any skill level can do that. You can always add dance to it, but it's an entry point, whether it's children or even if you have adults, that it's safe for them somehow than full-on dancing. And I'll have women, adults, that will say to me, I'm not a dancer, but if you give them a few gestures to do, they begin to open up and they enjoy it, and it's not so threatening. They're not tripping over their feet or having trouble with that, and it's a door that they can walk through. And I have some kids in my class that are skilled and some that aren't, but they can all gesture. All right, so the homework. Your homework assignment, if you will, is to go through the signs and practice them yourself. Put some worship phrases together yourself. Use them in your devotions. I would imagine that most of you already know that we dance better leading others when we're dancing in private also. And so your assignment is to take these phrases, I love you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Glorify the Lord, and when you wake up in the morning, before you start your prayer time or your Bible reading, use those gestures to begin to worship. I am not always ready to get up and spin and jump or leap in the morning, but I can bow and I can raise my hands, and so it's a way of, again, our spirit following our body when we do that. So that's the first part of it, is just to practice them and put together some phrases. And then the bonus assignment, so if you're willing to take that one step further and put together a worship phrase or two or three and photograph yourself or even make just a quick video clip and email it to us. And you could tell us when you send that email, are you willing for us to share that with the class or not? And it's fine to say, this is just for you two. I don't want it shared. But if you're willing to have it shared with the class, then we can make a slide of that and put it up too. And that would be... And in the back of the book, there's also, in the back of your manual, there's a page, additional resources. So there's, if you have that open, you can turn to that. There's some links for instruction on worship dance. Well, there, I've got Lynn's site there, and I've got Jocelyn's site there, thedancingforhim.com and the Praise Dance Life. There's a link for one of the lessons teaches about the scriptural significance of color. Kids love color, and that's such a fun lesson to teach on what the colors mean and how they can add to the stories that you're telling about God and what you're saying in the heavenly realms when you wave a red flag or a red scarf or a red cloth. So there's some links. There's a link about that so that you can know more about the scriptural significance of colors. There's some links for places where you can purchase flag streamers or props, and there's just a couple links on making streamers and flags, because that's, of course, something that you can do. In fact, whenever I go to Joann Fabrics, I look in their remnant section, because there's usually something that's a little less than a yard, and there's some beautiful fabrics that I'll get for half price, take them home. I have a friend who will stitch around the edges for me. If you're a seamstress, you could do that yourself, but I'm not very good at that. And then I put those in my prop bag, and we use them. So those are just some resources that I wanted to draw your attention to.
May I add one more homework? Amy, I know we didn't go over this, but go to Amy's site, worshipdanceministries.com. Go on there, over there, it's a lovely site, and sign up for our email newsletter so that you're able to keep up to date with some of the other things that she's going to be doing. I know you have her on mind, but, you know, I want to make sure you do that. Go over there.
All right. Jocelyn, it's okay. I'll close this in prayer.
Yes, awesome. That was my idea.
Okay, all right. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for each person on the call, for the ministries that they represent, for their desire to worship you and to equip the next generation to worship and honor you. I thank you for what's already happening in their ministries, for all the ways that they invest in your kingdom and your people. And I pray that you would bless them by the power of your spirit. I pray that you would take what they heard here and all the input that they give, and you would more than equip them, that they would go overflowing with ideas for how to teach children and how to enjoy doing it and how to be fruitful, Lord. I pray that you would bless their ministries, that they would have an impact for the kingdom, that they would bring joy to each woman that's on the call, and that many lives would be touched, Lord, in this generation and the next one after that. I pray that you would bless their families, you would bless their businesses, that you would bless them in every way, Lord, just because you are the source of every good thing. So I thank you, and we commit our week to you, and even what we do next week. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Amy. See you next week.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.